from stpetecatalyst.com.
Joining me on Impact Catalyst today is Kimberly Jackson, who is the Executive Director of the Institute for Strategic Policy Solutions based in St. Petersburg College. Welcome.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. So you've been in your tenure for a couple of years now, and I love the idea of ISPS bringing great minds together to talk about important subjects that you, actually some of them are pretty specific and kind of weird and fun, and I love that too, often not talked about things. So can you, for those not familiar with ISPS, can you kind of give us an overview of what it is and what you're doing with it?
Absolutely. So the Institute for Strategic Policy Solutions, which we call ISPS, it was created by Congressman Bill Young. It was actually started in 2011. And the goal was to really understand the proper scope of government and to understand that you can have social, political, and economic conversations in a nonpartisan way. And I just think that's a great mission because who would have thought that what he envisioned in 2011 would be so relevant and continues to be relevant. You cannot have deep conversations in a soundbite. You cannot explore an issue without research in depth. You cannot get your pulse on the community without knowing what is affecting a community. And in our case, Pinellas is so sprawling. There are issues that impact different pockets of the county that don't impact others, to be quite frank. So what we try to do is to bring the research and knowledge and the right people to the table to inform people, to educate them, to enhance them, and to spread the word through a cross sector of people who ordinarily may not talk about something like this in depth.
And so when you think about the mix of conversations that you have everything from guardianship to resiliency. So how does that mix sort of come to life?
Well, initially, so I started the position in 2019, but I'd been working as a political science chair with the Institute since around 2017. And what I noticed from my students' lens is that there are a lot of subjects that are just so touch and go. They just hear them briefly, but they never really fully understand them. And so when I was given the charge of how do we do this, I thought, well, he created three buckets, social, political, and economic. I comb through a ton of newspapers. I read a lot of news on all different levels. I watch C-SPAN a lot. I listen to hearings. I read actual, trials where I am an attorney. And I get these ideas and I sort of bring it forth to the table if I could get the right speaker with the knowledge to balance the issue. Some of our programming last year was really centered around what happened in the world with COVID, with George Floyd, with nonprofits needing assistance, with the environmental challenges, with economic challenges. And I'm blessed because people like David Jolly and Charlie Crist and Gus Bilirakis, who are intimately connected to the Institute, are always there to help and give guidance on, you know, how we can spread the word across county. So.
And you mentioned the idea is to have these deeper conversations, that it's nonpartisan, really looking at solutions. How has that gone? It's, you know, historically with panels and things like that, you tend to get a lot of rehashing the problem. You get people that are coming from sort of different perspectives that are attacking the problem from different ways. Have you had to sort of adjust the sort of culture of the conversations to get more working together towards a solution vibe, or has it just really played itself out in choosing the right people?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm looking for a solution, but I firmly believe that our goal is to educate the public and let them come to their own solution based on the ideology they have. So as long as we are providing accurate information, even if it's coming from two different perspectives, that allows an individual to sort of, think about what the issues that impacted them and now have the right information to make better decisions. So I cannot say that on any panel that everyone is going to agree, but as long as the conversation is fluid and the information is accurate, I think that's our job. I'll take, for example, something that could have been controversial, which was Ben Crump. I wasn't going to do it without the entire legal community's support, including Stetson University College of Law, our major bar associations, our criminal bar associations, our minority bar associations, because I felt that was a conversation that all attorneys had to be involved in, regardless on how they felt about the issue. Collaboration and having differing views actually makes the conversation richer.
Interesting. And in that mix, you probably had even layers of views as far as looking at it from legal perspective, but also looking at it from the sociological perspective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when we were prepping for these programs, people expressed their views. And, you know, when I'm doing the research, when I always do have, why do I care? Because I feel like no one's going to come if they don't care about the subject. In that case, I was firmly believe that criminal justice should be explored in a deeper way. I do believe that our leaders in the Florida legislature are doing a great job. And I thought this was a time for attorneys to say, what are we doing right and what can we improve on based on what's going on in the community? And it leads to different pockets of conversations. Take COVID, for example. We had COVID panels with a lot of nonprofits where we tried to have a conversation on who is doing what best. Not that everyone is not doing a lot, but where do you fall in line? And that helps people understand the importance of an issue and where they fit into that puzzle. And I think the Institute is in a good position to facilitate or be a conduit to conversation, and where it goes from there afterwards, we've done our job in educating the public.
When you choose topics, how intentional are you about sort of finding the edge topics or the different perspectives on bigger topics, or do you prefer just to go straight at the media's topics with the right people?
I don't really like to go to the media's topics, to be quite honest. Sometimes I guess it may fall that way. I like to know what people care about and what's interesting. Like for the guardianship, it was good timing because it came along with COVID, but I actually had people emailing about a program that happened way before I came on board in 2013 about guardianship that had happened, and then asked some questions about abuse. And so then I pushed it off to one of my legal colleagues to say, is this true? Is this happening? Should we be discussing this? And then at the same time, this movie came out, I Care a Lot, and some other movies, or I guess a program with Britney Spears that I have not honestly seen yet. And that sort of pushed the conversation forward. So good timing again, but not something that came or evolved because of that. And so I think talking to the community, talking to students, and really talking to people with several different ideologies, I try to help that keep balance. You know, some programs I care a little bit more about personally. You know, for example, every year I've done Autism Awareness Month because of my daughter. So that's something that I always say, well, that's off the table because I do have personal views that I've been extremely transparent in the community about my views with that. But, you know, everything else, I honestly believe as an attorney, as an advocate, as someone supports the community, that you have the right to believe what you want. You should be open to having a conversation about someone else's viewpoints or thought process. If you change your mind, if someone grows, then that's a good thing. And we can't have future leaders without that discourse. So I think I take some of my teaching from my political science chair to this position in that regard.
That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about method. You have panels. Can you talk about sort of, obviously, you've had to pivot from in-person events to online events. And as most people, ideally, there'll be a hybrid kind of going forward in the future. Can you talk about your strategy for how you gather and put out information?
So before, we are, I call us a small but mighty team. So there were literally three of us doing all of this for the entire year. We've had the privilege to grow. So I just brought on a project coordinator and a Florida statewide coordinator and a student assistant. And that helps a lot. And this just happened over the past 3 weeks. And so it's giving me breath to really say, how are we going to have the opportunity to grow now? The vision and strategy that we're in the process of implementing is a lot of research, white papers, engagement with students, not just here in St. Petersburg, but with the Florida College System, which was the intention of creating the Institute for Strategic Policy Solutions, with like-minded civic engaged organizations around the state to broaden the conversations. I would love to get more into that space and doing that, not just panels. I would love co-moderators or someone to moderate in my place. Me moderating was sort of because we didn't have a choice. But if we have people with a keener sense of an issue or, you know, just stronger knowledge of a topic, I would welcome that. This year, I've toyed with co-moderators. We would like to, you know, apply for meaningful opportunities to work in different spaces. So if there was an opportunity to travel to University of Miami and get thought processes on sea level rise or the economics of the minimum wage, instead of just keeping it local, we'd like to do that. Our Veterans Resource Fair was one of our greatest programs. I'm most proud of that, working with Gus Bilirakis. He's been doing that for quite some time. It was really informational, and that was a one-on-one program that was just really great because the speaker of the various parts of those who help our veterans were able just to push their information out and say, this is what we're doing in the community. So there are a lot of ways I'd like to grow. I'd like to try hybrid models because I do think in the short term of COVID that we're going to have some challenges with some people not ready to integrate for a variety of reasons and or convenience and some people who still want that face-to-face contact. So right now, it's nice because, you know, you can sort of dream about how we can spread and push our mission forward across the state with the Florida College System in particular, but also with other like-minded civic organizations. Just this coming next week, which is on our website, we're working with the Seminole Chamber of Commerce. They're having a luncheon with Dr. Jerry Parrish, and their members will be there in person, but we're doing it virtually with them. So that'll be our first hybrid test to see how it goes. So we want to get some innovative spaces. Another thing I'd like to do is try unique spaces around the county, you know, maybe do things in a local brewery or in an artistic space or, you know, in places where we don't necessarily shine so much light on to bring different people to the table. And I guess ultimately, if I had a personal goal, I want an intergenerational space. It's something that I'm a product of. I'm a firm product of having a lot of people of different ages and ethnicities and people of different viewpoints around me. I think life is a little bit richer because of that. And so I like the idea of trying to create that in different spaces where people who ordinarily wouldn't gather would gather.
That's great. That's a lot of good thinking there. And how about from the distribution end? We've talked about the wide ranging set of topics. And so sort of the common thread to all of that is just being smarter, better informed citizens. But obviously people will have, you know, some people may lean more towards environmental issues, others towards more social issues. So when you go out and try to grow an audience for ISPS content, what's been your strategy to, you know, to tie it all together and to get it in front of as many people as possible?
Well, last year it was just using personal network and really using the chambers of commerce around town, meeting people using prior contacts. I'm a graduate of Leadership St. Pete, class of 2004. And so in a COVID environment, it was really nice to say that I have reliable peers who gave me a lot of insight on how to get the message out to a broader audience. But we were blessed at the end of the year with funds to grow, and we are working with actually Impact Council that's helping us widen our reach in a responsible way. This is all new to me, but we have some very talented board members in this regard that can help with digital ads and advising on how we grow in a responsible way. I guess I think the greatest challenge is for me is that I don't want us to just pop up randomly. I want to be very strategic about people who want this type of dialogue. And I know I'm sensitive when I'm reading something and things are constantly popping up or it's not my space of where I want to be. So I want to be very responsible in how we reach out to this audience. And it is a challenge because, you know, our primary audience is really the Florida College System and the students. And then it's community leaders. We're going to do a program running for office. That program was the thought process of our president, just actually leaving a program on, you know, the gaps that we're going to have, always thinking about our students. One thing I'd like to say about SBC, which is very special to me, because when I left my legal practice, I purposely chose SBC. We are rooted so firmly across the county. What we do with young people really matters to the overall health of our county. And I'm certain that exists in so many other pockets and so many other counties around our state. So having that primary audience of students is a real good way to, you know, push out our mission. And hopefully those people are in, you know, chamber programs or, you know, leadership programs or, you know, I hate to call it specific service clubs, but service organizations. You hope that at some point you're training these young minds that are, you know, going to, you know, eventually push out the message by these organizations that they ultimately rise into leadership with.
That's great. Makes a lot of sense. Wonderful. Let's, ISPS is in good hands, and we'll look forward to just a lot of really well thought out content. We appreciate our partnership, and we look forward to continuing to share the good thinking ISPS produces with our audience. And we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks so much.
From stpcatalyst.com.